This month I got to attend one of the highlights of any given year for me, Kansas Fest in Kansas City, Missouri. It's a 5-day Apple II conference that I've mentioned on this podcast before, but I wanted to go into detail what about Kansas Fest keeps me so entranced and why, for years now, I have been attending. This is Jason Scott. You're listening to the Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It podcast, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Jeff Atwood, Daniel Boyd, and hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and other platforms for supporting this podcast and helping me get my way out of debt. Kansas Fest has been around for 21 years, and it's gone through all sorts of changes during those years. It started out as a product showcase for a company that made Apple II products, but after that company folded up, the attendees wanted to see each other, and so the convention continued. It went through various incarnations of growth and loss, but right now, it's in its heyday. At this point, the amount of attendees goes over 100 every year. People fly in from all over the world to attend this event. I'd known about it for years, but only in a trivia way, the way that a lot of people hear about it, that there's some sort of meeting of people who can't let go of the death of the Apple II, and they all look at Apple IIs with a sense of childlike wonder, and then they go home and cry. But I was invited to speak there. And I decided, well, life's weird, why not? So I chose to go for about a day and some change. That is, I would fly in, wander around, I'd get the gist of the place, and then fly on out. I also had a lot of other things going on at the time, and so why stay around for all those days? And what I'll always remember was how I ended up regretting that for years afterwards. I flew in, I looked at what was going on, and I immediately realized this was something special. This wasn't a bunch of people nostalgically crying over standard product cycles. These were engaged, smart, truly fun individuals from all walks of life who had fallen for what the computer stood for, even more than the computer. I mean, if you've never interacted with an Apple II other than as an abstract concept, the Apple II was one of the last computers designed by a single person, Steven Wozniak, and it has all of these quirks and attributes, but it's also incredibly powerful and flexible. When Steve Woz put together all of the components, he designed it from the ground up to be open. You don't need a screwdriver to get into an Apple II. The lid comes right off, and sitting there are open ports that can plug in all sorts of cards and expansion units, and everything is documented. Every single thing is either documented by the company or documented to the hilt by enthusiasts who have gone over everything. We know where things were manufactured. We know when they changed suppliers. We know the unique attributes of the floppy drive and controller. We know how the video works. We can make all sorts of guesses as to what choices were made when and then be able to react to them. At Kansas Fest, people are often just experimenting and sharing what they have. They love using the old programs, but they love making new ones. And frankly, you don't see that much in vintage computing. There's a performative aspect in a lot of vintage computing that really involves a person collecting a lot of stuff, putting it around in a pile, maybe making cards underneath it, and then showing you that they have a very, very large pile. And the education that comes from that is there were a lot of things made for a computer. cartridges and cards and games and monitors, and we can look at them and say, yes, how interesting. Here's a monitor that's very strange. It has an unusual form factor. That company made a few thousand of these and then went out of business. Here's a fun game. The game was kind of like Space Invaders, and they made a bunch of copies, and then they went out of business. And that story repeats and repeats and repeats. But at Kansas Fest, people are living there. The place is a dorm. It's an actual dorm on a college called Rockhurst University, and there are dozens and dozens of dorm rooms with people living in them with Apple IIs. And if your door is open, that door is an invitation to others to stop by and see what you're working on or collaborate with you. There's something magical at night when you walk through the hallways and you see half the doors are open, and inside are these little dark workshops with people doing interesting experiments for a demonstration later in the week, and being able to just strike up a conversation and ask them what they're about. I don't get a chance to see that much. It's run by a committee of folks who keep Kansas Fest on mark. They ensure things run smoothly, that events happen when they're supposed to, and they are so communicative with people about getting the most out of Kansas Fest. And for those 5 days, they live there too. They're the neighbors you can rely on. I had a pretty funny conversation with one of the organizers one year where he said, you know, you come back every year, and for a lot of it, I wondered why. Like, you're kind of a celebrity. You've got all these things to do. Why would you be spending so much time with us when there's so many other places to be? And what he didn't realize, and which I made clear to him, was this is my vacation. My rejuvenation. You know, vacation in the standard sense is not just going somewhere different than where you work or play. It's about having a mental refuge that puts you into a mindset that lets you realistically look at the rest of your life. You know, we soak so much in how we do things day to day that after a while we can convince ourselves that this pace or this outlook or these demands are the immutable, real, and only facts of our lives. And a vacation, especially to a vacation spot, a resort, or even a Las Vegas or a Reno, puts us in a different position so that you go back with more perspective. And that's what Kansas Fest does to me. It reminds me every year that computers are fun. They can be this adorable toy companion that you pull more and more challenge out of the deeper you go. At Kansas Fest, I've seen people learn assembly language for the first time. There's a soldering workshop. There are folks who will sit in their room and educate you on how to repair disk drives or make floppies work again or replace a part on your Apple and show you exactly what they did. There's one person who is into something called retrobriting. Retrobriting is a fascinating idea. A lot of older computers have this yellowing on them because the flame retardant that they were sprayed with goes off. It still retards flames, but it also goes yellow, and the original color goes away to the point that people think this is the color of the computer. And so the original beige of an Apple II, which is a very specific color, turns yellowed and it doesn't have that shine. But retrobriting will absolutely restore it to what almost feels like new. The science of this has been looked into, and it does affect the plastic a little bit, but there's something about seeing a newly retrobrighted system that just pulls you back. A new Apple II, like a lot of new plastic computers of the 1980s, is an eye popping showstopper. And at Kansas Fest, the retrobriting never stops. Probably the most fascinating thing to me are the multi-year projects, the projects where people have been working on something that will be a next-generation version of an Apple II product for years. There are programs like Micromate or Lawless Legends or Nox Archaist, where folks are making RPGs or development systems, and every year showing you how much they've progressed since last year and where they think they're going. In this way, Kansas Fest is giving these folks that really strong push you need to get to the end and not fade away, fizzle out, and say that you gave it your best try. I think the only real regret I have about Kansas Fest is I wish there were more computer events like this. It's a whole different class, a whole different world to live among people in a retreat and learn about something. Now, maybe I'm just unaware of other similar events, but I can't think of any. How different would our opinion of some of these platforms be if we could spend a few days sharing our ideas with folks and getting inspiration about what could be achieved? Among the Kansas Fest presentations this year was a demonstration of multi-mode graphics, which exists in a lot of different ways on computers. In the most light description of it possible, the technical version of a cookie, I'll say that it is carefully calculating cycles on a computer such that you change the graphics mode on the fly. You see, normally it has to be an all-text mode or a very specific mixed graphics mode, but it is possible to actually blow between different modes on the scan line level so that text is where it shouldn't be, or low-resolution and high-resolution graphics live on the same page. Again, it's a technique that's many, many years old, but the presenter showed it in a way that really inspired folks to start messing around in their own way with it. You know, learning happened right in front of me, and it's the best kind of learning, the learning that results in more experimentation and yet more understanding. And of course, the highlight of the new product announcements of the year. Yeah, new products for sale for the Apple II. We were shown a HDMI converter for Apple II products, including the very difficult Apple II GS, meaning that those large flat-screen TVs of the modern world can soon be blessed with Apple II imagery right from the source. Reprinted books of Apple II classics, including the Tome of Copy Protection, an overview of the different copy protection techniques of the period. A beautiful flux reader called the Applesauce. Everything just shown to us with the pride and the happiness of a company that is going to blow us away with what they've got for this year. We got to play with all the different products. We got to talk to the creators. We got to give feedback. And so the Apple II aftermarket is as strong as ever. Thanks to this podcast and to other projects I'm working on, I feel pretty strong about my love of retro computing, vintage computing, and computer history. I'm really, really mentally up there. But for the years that it's started to weigh down, Kansas Fest is the battery that I need. This year, it was just me enjoying myself, talking to old friends, making new ones, and just enjoying how much these plastic electronic items have changed my life. The next time Kansas Fest opens is in July of 2019, and when tickets become available, I'll race you there. This has been Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Sam Johnston, James Bakoyanu, and Adam Green, along with the hundreds of other supporters who have helped make this podcast possible. I had a little bit of a hospital visit a few weeks back. I just felt a little funny on the left side of my body. And unfortunately, when I feel a little funny on the left side of my body, that sends off a lot of very concerned doctors to figure out what's wrong with me. As it were, not anything obvious. I went in there, I just said that I was feeling a little sluggish, and they did all the standard checks. I don't have anything like a stroke. I don't have any obvious nerve damage. Just felt a little weird. Got a little old. Maybe I slept wrong on the wrong side of my body. But I ended up getting a bill for that of $6,000 for going through the emergency room. After my insurance was applied, that's $936. Now, in the old days, I would have been dealing with that for over a year, you know, just being pushed back that much. But I've been able to pay that off immediately. It's stopped me from paying off a few other things quicker than I would like. But the fact that that bill, where I was able to feel relieved within a few hours of being at the emergency room, and then having the additional stress of the bill go away immediately. That's you. That's what you're helping with. It's been so great to not put things off. I mean, in the old days, I might say, maybe it's nothing. I certainly did that once when I was trying to figure out why there was a black spot in my eye until I found out that I had a 219 over 160 blood pressure. I did not die. There's probably a very sad part of my eye to this day, but I got pushed into the emergency room then. I walked in this time. You take that stress off me, and I appreciate it so very much.